This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And in the rebounding, that doesn't really, especially, like, unless we're talking about, like, Anthony Davis at the rim. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Anthony Davis versus Domantas Sabonis for the rebound. Like, rebounds aren't often equated to size. Unless you're talking that scenario where it's a big down low or you're at the basket trying to get rebounds. When you got teams shooting jump shots, that's not about size.
No.
That's about positioning. That's about effort. That's about movement. Like, that's about – sometimes it's just about the bounce of the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes that's a factor too. But the fact that they got their ass kicked the way that they did on the boards like that is crazy.
It's inexcusable, in my opinion, like that. Like, yes, you're going to give up some offensive rebounds, you know, in a game for sure. But I felt like one of the guys, I'm going to check, maybe you have the numbers in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
How many offensive rebounds did Rui have?
Felt like
he had five.
Rui had four.
Yeah.
Yeah, four offensive rebounds. Yeah, four offensive rebounds.
And Rui's, you know, he's not a
no
small
Sacramento
guy.
King had four. Domas had three.
Rui's not a small guy, but he's not Wemby out there. He was just outworking him. You know, he was getting physical.
Austin Reeves had more offensive rebounds than defensive rebounds.
Austin.
4-3.
Austin Reeves. So Austin Reeves had seven rebounds?
Yep.
Yeah, man. Come on.
Yeah, 16-7. 16-7-6.
Austin Reeves and Rui getting nine offensive rebounds between the two of them?
Seven.
Seven. Come on, man. That can't happen.
No, I'm sorry. I did that wrong. I'm sorry. No, eight. I'm sorry. Four and four.
That can't happen.
Yep.
Man. That can't happen. You got to, though, like, it'd be one thing if Anthony
16
Davis
combined rebounds
is dominating on the boards. But the two forwards, you know, that aren't that big, they can't do that. So, and I look at the offensive rebounds as just paying attention to what you're doing, paying attention to finishing off the defensive possession from time to time. You mentioned long rebounds, back rims. Those things happen as well. But I think a lot of Rui's offensive rebounds were around the basket. I feel like Austin Reeves got some around the basket too. And that's just not paying attention and not finishing off that defensive possession. And they've got to make sure that doesn't become something that is a staple.
Those two guys had more offensive rebounds than Alex Lynn or Trey Lyles had total rebounds.
And
the same amount that Keegan had total rebounds.
And the simple way to look at that too, which is what makes it frustrating, is that is extra possessions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the Lakers had 92 shot attempts in that game. The Kings had 88.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got 13 of those just because they outworked you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you cut that number in half, if you're the Kings, just in half of offensive rebounds, that might be the deciding factor in that game. Like, you just eliminate six more possessions for them. That might be the deciding factor. So, the rebounding is an issue for sure. But, man, those offensive rebounds really, really frustrated me on Saturday night.
Yeah, as they should. I'll point everyone's attention to another statistic. You mentioned the slow start from three for the Kings. Obviously, they got going, wound up getting a lot of threes up, actually. 15 of 44 for 34%. Again, 15 of 44.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers took 34. Mm. But hit 14. They shot 41%. A plus 40% shooting opponent from behind the arc again for Sacramento. Just pointing it out. Mm-hmm. I'm just pointing it out because for those that are a little concerned, I don't blame you. the season long issues from last year have carried over, and it's forced me to ask questions that I'll save for a later date. Mm. I'm not going to ask them with the team 0-2, but I think based on some text exchanges we've had with people around the league that we respect, a text exchange I had with Trista this morning, I'm not the only ones asking these questions. I know you're good, you're not concerned, but there's a lot of people like, well, wondering. Mm-hmm. Let's say that. And I'm going to hold off on all of that because 0-2 isn't the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little anxious headed into tonight's game.
And
it's not because I don't think they can score. Mm-hmm. It's clear. 115, I think, used to be our marker.
Yeah.
Or if it wasn't, it was pretty close.
Or 112 or 115, one of the two.
They've hit the marker twice.
Yeah.
And lost both. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the offense is struggling. It's not, oh, how do we get DeMar in here? Nope, DeMar's – any questions about DeMar averaging 20-plus points per game are probably no longer questions right now. Mm-hmm. That's not my question. My question is, what can they do on the defensive end? Mm-hmm. My question is, can they get enough stops to win a game? And it makes me wonder about tonight's game. Does Portland wind up shooting 40-plus percent from three? And what type of position does that put Sacramento in the fourth quarter? Mm. Does this wind up being game? Does every game wind up being the Kings win or lose, plus or minus five?
Mm. Maybe. It could be the
case. I don't care as long as you win more than you lose. I don't care how close the games are.
Right.
But
and now this
seems like a tough way to survive.
This is for the first time, not the only time I will, but the first time I'll look at this team extra close. Because we mentioned it earlier in the first part of the show, you've got a schedule that if the Kings are who we think they are or think they could be,
mm-hmm.
I don't have any problem saying you got Portland, you got Utah, you got Toronto twice. Yeah, win those goddamn games, win them. You should win them. If you're who if you can't win those or that's too much pressure or you know those expectations too high, then you're not who we think you are. So. That's where I'm really going to look at this team. They've got, I think it's six games where it's Portland, Utah, Atlanta, Toronto, Miami, and Toronto again. I'm looking at that six game stretch. I'm looking at 4-2. I need that. Absolutely. And I don't have any problem putting that type of expectations on this squad because of what we expect them to be.
What'd you say, 4-2?
4-2 and no six games. You think Boston is looking at it like they got those six games? Like, I'm nervous to say anything. No, hell no. They probably looking at it 5-1, 6-0.
Because that team knows that they're good.
You think Dallas is looking at it like that?
I don't know.
Phoenix?
I'm not getting in the mind of Luka Doncic or Jason Kidd for that matter.
I should have tagged Jason Kidd. That's who I should have tagged too.
Well, you should have. Missed opportunity. Long list of those from yesterday.
I think all the good teams are looking at that six-game stretch and aren't afraid of it, are saying this is when we take care of business. And if that's who the Kings are, if they are who we think they are, that's how they should be approached. This is what we get right for the start of the season. Let's handle business. It's not going to be given to us. We got to go out there and rebound the basketball.
Yeah.
We've got to defend a little bit better. There are things that we need to work on and we need to be better at that we are in control of. But we're looking at these. No, let's handle business here. Let's handle business.
And I looked at the schedule. Correct. This is they got their first back-to-back coming up. It's Portland tonight, and I believe it's Utah tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's home it's Portland road, tonight and so. Utah tomorrow. Yep.
Yeah. So that was the other frustrating thing about the Lakers' losses. They were coming off a back-to-back.
Yeah. And they won the night before.
Yeah. Yeah. Portland's coming off a back-to-back, too. Beat the hell out of New Orleans last night.
Mm.
So they're on this.
I didn't watch any basketball yesterday. Absolutely none. I got to enjoy the red zone quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I did have the quad box up a lot for the first. The early morning slot. I know your enjoyment of football was a little bit different yesterday because you had to drive.
Place,
but I enjoyed it, the quad box for a while, but I really leaned into the red zone and the Raiders in the second half.
I'm a red zone guy. I don't have Sunday tickets, so there's that too. But just give me the red zone. Although red zone pisses me off sometimes, because you know
the end of the 1 o'clock games was, or the end of the 10 o'clock games was insane.
It was absolutely
insane.
So that'd be pissing me off sometimes though, because it'll be. I know the game wasn't close, but say Eagles Bengals is close, and they're like, "Oh man, Jalen Hurts gets the ball down to the 25. Let's go back because the Titans are in the red zone here against the Jags." Who cares?
What's the red zone channel?
No. Put them on a side box. No, these two teams suck. Not literally that at the time, but that's how they'll do it. They'll go to Titans and Patriots just because they're in the red zone when Eagles Bengals are on the 30-yard line with a minute to go. I don't care about Titans and Patriots.
You know what the fun little, like, and I always kind of assumed this before, but now it's like so obvious with the multi view is they're not always live. Like, you'll see like something unexpected, like an interception return for a touchdown in the Atlanta Tampa Bay game.
Yeah.
Let's go to Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and somehow it's like 30 seconds ago, and then you see right on time the interception, bringing it to you live here on the red zone.
The magic of TV.
But Scott Hansen did such an amazing job because that, like the Cleveland Baltimore game, like there were so many games that were so close in that opening stretch, in that 10 o'clock stretch, that it was fun to watch unfold. And then of course the way the whole night ended, which we'll talk about later, headed into the Sunday night game.
I got a story about that too.
Is it on air worthy?
Yeah, it'll be on.
All right, we'll get to all of that stuff. He was watching it with like Robert Griffin III or something.
Not far off.
Well, all right. Actually looking forward to that. The other thing, we should point out Domantas Sabonis had a monster game.
He's balling.
And we're holding off on a storyline that everyone wants to talk about because we're going to have to come back with that, and that's obviously Keon Ellis. But 29, 12, and 10. For Domantas Sabonis, first triple-double of the season. He's having a terrific start.
He did everything he could to try and get it to 11-0.
He did.
And Dunked on AD, too.
And that's one of the – oh, man.
Yeah, you got it. That was a battle because AD was hooping.
Absolutely.
AD was hooping, and Domas was right there.
Yeah, AD was like, hey, no way Kendrick Perkins is going to be on TV talking about me tomorrow.
I understand.
No way.
Another positive from that game, the Sacramento Kings, 22 of 25 from the free throw line, 88%.
Yeah.
So that's back-to-back 80% plus performances at the line. Hopefully that stays around.
32 assists in that one.
They hit a lot of numbers
assists.
There.
They did.
15 threes.
Offensively.
I think the number was 12, wasn't
there
it?
Was no issue offensively with the way that the Sacramento Kings played on Friday.
The game came down to the 13 offensive rebounds and that shot that AD hit. Regardless of how we got there, it was a 2-point game with 30 seconds to go. And you needed a stop. You had probably the guy you would choose on the floor to take a three, and he drained it. He's one of the great players of all time. And you tip your hat. Is that fair enough? I understand you got to tell the whole story. But sometimes, like, Kings made their run. Lakers might be looking at, man, we're up 16 and just let them come back. Like, there was ebbs and flows in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless how you got there, you
game
got
of
to,
runs. Game of Very runs. Very literal game of runs.
You got to a point where in 2 minutes ago in the fourth quarter, it was a 4-point game or something like that. And their guys hit a couple more shots. 21-0 run is crazy, though.
It's insane. Like, and sometimes you see stuff like that stretches over, the end of the third, end of the fourth. Nah, it's not what happened. They just came out in that fourth quarter on fire. The Kings couldn't hit anything. They just looked befuddled. Is that a thing?
Right.
If it's not, let's make it one. Two really weird box score statistics that we'll give you when we get back, and then one of the biggest storylines coming out of last night's game, Keon Ellis did not play a single minute.
Mm.
And, man, we'll talk. We'll talk. Stilo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino, where we will be November 11th. Make your plans to be with us. Socktober is still in effect. You can bring socks here to the studio at 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 up in Roseville. Or if you want to send stocks, like if you want to get them on like Amazon and just send them directly to us, send them to ESPN 1320, 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 in Roseville, California. We'll get those socks to the people who need them the most. I know it's not something people think about a lot, but at this time of year, man, it would be great. So again, 3010 Lava Ridge Court, send some socks here, and we'll get them to the right people. And we'll come back. We'll talk about Keon Ellis, DNPCD, against the Lakers here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Yeah. Not even worth the time. Let's do this because it keeps coming up during the commercial breaks. Let's just get this over with. Yeah. We were gonna throw this into 49ers coverage, but it's not about 49ers. It's about this dude on the screen. So Nick Bosa jumps into the post game interview on NBC, which was Kittle. What's the running back?
Brock Purdy was there.
And yeah, Brock Garendo. And so they're having their moment, and they got the whole national tight end title thing planned. And Nick comes up with his Trump hat on, points at his hat on national television on NBC, and then runs off the camera, or, you know, runs away. Okay? Here's Nick Bosa being asked about that post game. I recognize you can't hear the question, and I apologize, but he's getting asked about that moment on Sunday Night Football. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to talk too much about it, but I think it's an important time.
Okay. All right, Nick. This is why Nick Bosa is a bitch. And I'll explain this very clearly for anybody. You are welcome, and that's what this election is about, right? You're welcome to support whoever you want. Mm-hmm. If you still support Donald Trump at this point in time, hey, salute. If you followed the Nazi rally yesterday at Madison Square Garden, good for you. But let's be clear about something. The reason Nick Bosa didn't address that is because he knows what Donald Trump is. When you support a candidate, you're free to support a candidate. If you want to stand up and say, I'm supporting Donald Trump, and here's why. The reason Nick doesn't want to talk about it is because he can't really tell you why he's supporting him. At least not in front of cameras. Not in front of his teammates. What he wants to tell you, what he doesn't want to tell the cameras and his teammates, is that he believes in his misogynistic views. He believes that immigrants are dangerous to this country. He believes every little snide remark he makes about black people in Puerto Rico and how Donald is doing all of these. He believes all of that, but he can't say that. And that's the funny thing about this election. Is the people who support him are unwilling to tell you why they support him because most of them don't know. They just know that they like his vibe. They just know that they agree with him. You regularly see Trump flags. I see it in my neighborhood all of the time. Y'all know where I live. I see that Donald Trump flag all of the time right next to an American flag because those people have weaponized that American flag because they believe America is about them, not us, them. How often do you see, in more extreme cases, that Donald Trump flag next to a Nazi flag? You don't. Open Twitter right now. Right now, this second. You'll see it. But people like Nick Bosa, who have something to lose in all of this, which is laughable because this is the NFL, he has nothing to lose. He's afraid to tell you why he supports that candidate. It's the same reason Tom Brady got left off the, he escaped scot-free over this. You had that hat in your locker. Why? Couldn't tell you. He can't tell you because those people are scared to tell you that they believe what he's saying. All of that stuff that happened at Madison Square Garden yesterday, they agree with it, but they're scared to tell you. I have no idea what's going to happen 1 week from tomorrow, but I can guarantee you there will be at minimum 75 million people that show their true colors. Believe them. Every single one of them. Believe them, whether they're your neighbor, whether they're your favorite football player, whether you work with them. Mm-hmm. Believe them. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to show you.
Yeah, I mean, you said it perfectly. I thought that moment last night from Nick Bosa was it was so unnecessary. It was so unnecessary. We talking about you weren't even involved in the situation. You weren't involved. You inserted yourself for no reason at all. That was so unnecessary.
No, he did do it for a reason. He wanted to make clear 9 days before the election, hey, we're coming out. We're reminding y'all are seeing this stuff all over the TV. Now, I'm going to remind you of something. We're still here. We've wondered, man, is this, God, they can't possibly. He's trying to overthrow the goddamn government. What are we missing here? Overthrew the government. All of this Blue Lives Matter stuff. How many police officers died on January 6th? What are we talking about? He did it for a reason. Every single one of them are doing it for a reason. He is a bitch. A flat out bitch. Because he refuses to tell you why he's doing it. Runs out and takes the moment away from his teammates. What's Brock Purdy supposed to do in that situation? What's he supposed to do? What's George Kittle, the most fun-loving guy in the league? What's he supposed to do? They just look at him, turn their head, and try to pretend like it didn't happen. He's an ass.
And you're probably going to touch on this part as well. But you do that. And then when asked about it, you run away from the conversation.
Because he's afraid to say it out loud.
That's
in front of cameras, on wax.
That's the killer to me. Like you said earlier.
Say it with your chest.
If that's what you believe, then that's what you believe.
Say I don't support Donald Trump because I believe the economy was better. You know why he can't say that? Because someone can go, no, it wasn't.
Right.
Someone can refute that. When you use words, it can be refuted. Mm-hmm. And then it opens himself up to, okay, so do you agree with the mob of people attempting to overthrow the government on January 6th? Like, not figuratively, literally, investigation after investigation after investigation, hearing after hearing after hearing.
You
tried to overthrow the government.
You just asked Nick Bosa straight up, are you cool with that? Are you okay with that? Is that a yes or no question? Are you okay with that?
What country do we live in where you could attempt an insurrection and then run for office again? Because so many of those people agree with him. That's what this is about. That's what next Tuesday's about. It's very simple. You either agree with him or you don't. You do or you don't. There is no in between. And that's what next week is all about. That's what next Tuesday is all about. I'm not telling you to vote for it. Do what you want. You know who I'm voting for. You know who we're voting for. Mm-hmm. You either do or you don't.
Mm-hmm. As simple as that. And with Bosa specifically, and like you laid it out, like I said, don't run. Don't run. Let's have the conversation if we're going to have the conversation. You know what I'm saying? Let's have it. Don't run from it when somebody asks you about that. And Bomani Jones brought up a good point as well. For whatever reason, I wasn't able to get. I'm not going to say I would have done this and that because I'm just playing my role at those games. I'm not a reporter. I'm just kind of observing. But Bomani Jones asked the question. He said, "Well, how did nobody say anything? Like how was there no follow up to that? Like you at that point, Nick." There is no.
There should have been no other question asked.
Yeah, I don't want to talk. No, you created this. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about this until you storm off or something.
Or walk your stupid ass off the podium.
That's what I'm saying. Until you storm off. We're going to talk about this because you brought it to the doorstep. Nobody was going to ask you about this. Not one person was going to ask you about this until you went in front of that camera and did what you did. So now let's talk about it. Now you got to answer some questions. I hope somebody answered. We're going to keep asking them questions at this point. You started it. So get ready to answer the questions.
Cowardice behavior. That's all it is. Nick Bosa is a coward.
That was whack.
Man. And a lot of his supporters are cowards.
On a number of different levels. That was whack.
So we brought it up earlier. We'll address it. We'll move on. Get out and vote. That's all I can tell you. There's a lot of Sac, Rockland, wherever you are, get out there and vote, especially if you're in Sac. Man, there's a lot of really, really important measures. I spent some time reading through them this week. Read all of it. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Thank God there's not two betting ballots on there again, because I don't think I've ever been more confused in a local election than those two damn betting ballots. Also,
that had everybody in a chokehold.
There's a good chance that betting ballot's going to be back in 2 years, too. So and be prepared for that.
It'll be a lot clearer.
It might be a little more unified this time.
Yeah.
It might be a little more unified this time. So you can send your complaints to me. Y'all know where I'm at. I don't hide from nothing. In fact, you got complaints, there's a little voicemail button.
Yeah.
Like right there on the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app. Find ESPN 1320. Hit the microphone, uh-huh. And you can complain.
You say whatever.
Complain
you want.
Right to us.
You say whatever you want. Anybody do it after the Kings game on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. I didn't look. I doubt it. Yeah. We haven't been talking about it.
Y'all need to get that. I'm gonna look. Kings game tonight. After it's done, go send the voicemail. Go to the Odyssey app. Go send the voicemail. We want to hear what y'all think about this game, win or lose. If you're excited, I want to hear that. If they lose and you're pissed off, I want to hear about that. If they win and you're pissed off, I want to hear about that, man. Go let us know. And if it's dope and FCC appropriate, we'll play it on the show.
Well, people are trying to use it. So let's see what... Is it Jerry? I wonder what Jerry says. Okay, Jerry. Well, thanks, Jerry. All right. Jerry found the station.
What did Jerry say?
Whoops. My bad, Jerry. Hang on, Jerry. Let's see what Jerry... make sure it's not inappropriate. Hang on, everybody.
Hold on. I'm here just making sure we're good here. You know, we're just talking. We're just doing what we can here.
I'm not sure what Jerry's saying. I'm going to be honest with you, but...
Roll the tide?
Is he saying roll the tide?
Roll damn tide.
But I don't think it's ever roll the tide, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's roll damn tide.
That sounds like Jerry. That sounds like...
Well, Jerry. That's how we're talking. And I was at the game last night, and, you know, I was... very upset with the outcome of that game. That game was not the way I was looking to spend my Sunday night. But, you know, I just want to win a Super Bowl so bad. And with Dak Prescott as my quarterback, I'm nowhere close.
Okay. Back to your regularly scheduled programs. Keon Ellis.
Mm.
Kings lose 131-127, give up, what'd I say, 44 points in the fourth quarter. I told you there were two weird stat sheet numbers.
Mm-hmm.
This is only for those who celebrate. Kevin Huerter was minus 29. Now, this was a five-point game, so in content, I'll give you the rest of the content. DeMar? Minus 9. Mm-hmm. Keegan, plus 8. Domas, plus 8. De'Aaron, negative 5. Kevin Huerter in 26 minutes was negative 29. Mm. Malik, in 27 minutes, basically 28 minutes, was by far the highest on the team, plus 20. I know people hate the plus minus stat, but I just wanted to point it out. Keon Ellis didn't play a single second in that game. Mm. He played 11 minutes. Against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I asked if the 11 minutes might have been a little insight into how Mike and perhaps Monty really feel about Keon. Because we've questioned it. I started questioning it in Summer League when I just thought Monty, and I stated I'm probably overreacting. I'm reading into something that might not be there. But I thought Monty was a bit dismissive when he was talking about Keon Ellis and what he did last year. And then you fast forward to training camp, at least I think it was training camp, where Mike used the phrase that Keon really outplayed his role down the final stretch and help the Sacramento Kings get into good position. Nothing either one of those individuals said wasn't true, mm-hmm. but they both felt really minimizing of the way that Keon played. And I asked after the Minnesota game, like, maybe this is a better view of how those guys truly feel about Keon Ellis. Only for us to get into this game with Los Angeles and Keon never get off the bench. Does Keon not deserve a spot in this rotation?
I think he absolutely deserves a spot in the rotation. I'm trying to think of where you would get him in on Saturday. My thought was maybe either the last few minutes of the third quarter, or because you had gotten that 7-point lead, maybe you try him in the first 3, maybe 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. But here's the issue a little bit with the Kings, and we'll see how it plays out. Outside of what I just said, when are you putting him in the game? Like, I only say that because this is what people were saying all summer, and I'm not even saying it's wrong. I'm
Jordan
saying this is what you said.
Played 3 minutes.
Yeah, maybe that could have been Keon's minutes.
De'Aaron played 41.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm not either.
I'm not mad at that. Like, I'm not mad at it.
Does Mike Brown, do you think, know who he even wants to play at this point and however many minutes?
Well,
he basically had an 8-man rotation with Alex mm-hmm. and obviously Trey and Malik. And then Jordan got those weird 3 minutes. So I think
it seems like he's searching to me.
We saw McDermott Thursday.
Yeah.
Didn't we see?
He got the McLaughlin minutes on Thursday. And some of that was.
Who's he? Got you. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
He got the little 3 minutes at the start of the fourth. I think McLaughlin was in the second quarter, maybe. I think it was towards the end of the second quarter that he played. He is searching. But at the same time, I say I don't know where the minutes are going to come from. Kevin Huerter, 26 minutes on Saturday. I don't think that's egregious. He was 5 of 9 from
McLaughlin
the field.
Was the third. He played the third quarter.
Third quarter.
Those were his minutes,
quarter.
Yeah.
Kevin Huerter, 5 of 9 from the field, 4 of 7 from beyond the arc, couple rebounds. I didn't think his defense was, like, atrocious. He actually probably had a lot of deflections now that I remember it. He had, like, 3 or 4 deflections in his time out there on Saturday. This is the other thing I'm talking about. Everybody wants 2 of the 3 on the floor at all times when you say Fox, DeRozan, and Sabonis. They say at least 2. Hey, you got 2 of the 3 should always be on the floor. And then you want Malik Monk. Everybody, there's no way he should be playing less than 30 minutes. I'm not saying any of that is wrong. I'm pretty much in agreement. But that doesn't leave a lot of minutes for others, and Keon being one of them. And Monk played 28 minutes. And everybody has said all summer, he should be 30 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. 30 minutes. Well, all right. Well, you only got so many minutes in a game. I looked at that game on Saturday. I didn't see a moment where you could have put Keon in outside of the end of the third or the beginning of the fourth. Other than that, I thought everything was fine. And not saying he's not deserving. I would like to find a way to get Keon in there. But with all those parameters that everybody's talking about, I don't know where it's going to come from.
I hear you. Let me approach this a different way. Mm-hmm. Kevin was 4 of 7 from 3. Mm-hmm. He was 4 of 7 in that 3 game. Excuse me, 5 of 9 overall. 14 points for Kevin Huerter. If Kevin has a second game where he's not missing shots, where he's not making shots, excuse me, do you think Keon is in? Because this was part of my thing with Kevin Huerter last year is people. Rightfully so, you have two separate conversations here, but people were really hard on Kevin about the way he was playing defensively. Mm-hmm. And I kept attempting to make the argument, which was impossible because it wasn't happening, but I was trying to make it that you're probably not paying as much attention to that if he's hitting shots. Mm-hmm. Like, we're focused, oh, he's such a liability on the defensive end. If he's 4 of 7 from three, you're probably not feeling that way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what happened yesterday. Kevin, I thought, was active. I thought the whole team was active defensively. It just didn't mount to anything for them. Mm-hmm. But is it different if Kevin's not making shots and you get into the second half and Kevin is at 2 points and he's 1 of 7 for three instead of 4 of 7?
And what? And when do you see that? Like, when do you make the? Because
no, I'm asking you. Like, if you're, I'm asking you if that's where Keon gets. We'll say he's 1 of 7, 1 of 6, or whatever to start the second half. Mm-hmm. Like, does that influence Keon getting into the game? Because my point, the point that I'm attempting to make, and clearly I'm doing it poorly, is Keon plays if Kevin Huerter is playing bad offensively. That was my argument last year. Mm-hmm. Is Keon got run because Kevin was bad offensively. If Kevin is good offensively, nobody's thinking about what he's doing on the defensive end because he's capable of going 4 of 7 from three.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, quite possibly he plays. And that's something, in my opinion, you don't figure out until the second half sometime. And that's where I'm looking at minutes and I'm saying those two spots might have been the only spots for Keon Ellis because – we talked about it last year, and the same thing applies. If you're going to go with Kevin Huerter, that's the decision you're making, you have to allow him to feel as comfortable as possible out there. Not, and this isn't what you're saying, I'm just saying in general, not, man, I started 0 for 2. I think Keon's coming in. Like,
yeah, I think that's real, though.
I think that's how I don't want him.
No, I understand. I don't either. I think there's a, I think that's a real thing, though.
But I think that's where – I think last year maybe that was the case. This year I think they're trying to eliminate that. And because I think he started off over four. I think he started – and then he hit –
Well, he definitely missed his first two. Yeah, he definitely missed his first two.
So he wasn't hitting early, and then he just kept shooting it and got it going a little bit. But you got to – if you're going to decide to play him and you're going to decide to start him, I believe you have to let him play.
And he played 7 less minutes in the first game. When he was 1 of 4 and 0 of 3.
Got you. You got to let him play. You got to figure out if he's going to be able to give you what you're looking for, because I don't want him to be looking over his shoulder the entire time. I want him as confident
wholeheartedly
as
agree.
Possible.
As wholeheartedly possible. Agree.
So because of that, I don't think you find out if Kevin's quote-unquote got it or not until the second half. You go into that second half and he's 1 of 7, like you said, might not be his night. All right, we might look to get Keon in here, towards the end of the quarter. And I say towards the end of the quarter, because say you see it with 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. Like, Kevin's now 1 for 8. We might have to. Tonight's not the night. You're not going to Keon. You're going to Malik. You're like, all right, we're going to go quicker to Malik now. You're not going to pass up Malik put Keon in.
And that's what happened. Kevin played 3 minutes and 42 seconds in the fourth quarter. He was minus 21 because he was on the floor for every single one of those 21 and 0 points.
That's crazy.
That is death. And he never got back in. That's why his plus minus was so bad.
Yeah.
He never got back into the game after that run. They basically went to the closing lineup. You had a little bit of Trey. You had a little bit of Alex. But they basically went to the closing lineup to carry them the rest of the way. DeMar played all 12 minutes in that quarter. De'Aaron played 10. Mm-hmm. Domas played 10.
And that's what I'm saying. And
Kevin just got the short straw. He didn't get to get back in and make up for
it. But that's like what we talk about. Like you making a sub for Kevin, it's going to be Malik.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be Keon.
So Keon's out.
I'm trying to find out where you find the minutes.
And I'm okay. So let's do this then. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
If that's I just Mike better not say a word about the way this team is performing defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you.
I mean,
you can't say anything when arguably your second best or best defender doesn't get run.
Yeah, I still think, and this I understand what you're saying, but you can still not play Keon and say the guys that are playing, you guys got to play better defense.
All right.
I think you can do that. Because I believe that, yes,
you can ask the guys that are playing to play better defense. I just think that's whack.
If
you're telling us, oh, we need to be better defensively. Hey, Mike, how come the second best defensive player gets no run whatsoever? And I'd force Mike to answer me. What is it? Is it his offense? Is it his size? Like, what is it that you'd favor Kevin over Keon, or favor Keon being completely out of the lineup?
Maybe Mike just tells me
to go to hell. I don't know.
I want Keon to play. I love Keon. I want Keon to play. I'm a believer, but I just struggle to find the minutes. If Kevin's there, and remember all the parameters that's just laid out. Monk's got to play 30 minutes. Two of the three got to be on there at all times. All those things that everybody's been saying all summer, if you want those things to apply, I don't know where the Keon minutes come from.
All right. Manny, Mitch, Kamara, hang tight. We will get to you right after the break. If you want to get in on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, you could do that. 916-909-1320. Steelo and Casey brought to you by Sky River Casino, where we will be November 11th. That's right, Veterans Day. Make your plans to be with us. 32 Brew Street leading into the Sacramento Kings and the San Antonio Spurs on November 11th. Our next live broadcast at Sky River Casino. Your call's next on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. We'll get back to the Kings here, but do want to mention that Kyle Shanahan is talking, and he said that Christian McCaffrey has had no setbacks. He's going to do some work this week, and as long as it goes good, he's expected to be at practice next week.
Okay. All right, we'll see what happens. I mean, I got real pessimistic with Christian McCaffrey
a
few weeks ago, thinking we wouldn't see him at all this season. And even when he gets there, I'm still pessimistic about what he'll be able to give the 49ers, but I hope everything goes good. I hope we see him after the bye.
Yeah.
I hope he's healthy and stays healthy, and nothing goes down, man. So, let's see what it is.
No time. Sorry, one more thing.
No, go ahead.
No timetable for Dre Greenlaw. After the bye, he will be week to week to get back to practice, according to Kyle Shanahan, who also said it's getting closer. It's Dre Greenlaw.
Okay, I mean,
yeah. Dre Greenlaw is more, I think, medical evaluate. It's more like, hey, it's not time yet, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. I think there's a little bit more, for lack of a better term, science.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's literally recovering.
Yeah, exactly.
Surgery.
Whereas Christian is more, I don't know, whatever he tells you, do that, because we don't know what the hell's wrong with him.
Yeah. Yeah,
so. Ask his German doctors or wherever. I can't remember where he went. It was Germany, I think. I can't remember. But
yeah, it was Germany. So, mm-hmm. Hopefully. Just for the morale and just, you know, hopefully we see those guys.
Yeah,
absolutely. I want to give a quick shout out. Air horns, real quick. Big shout out to my little cousin, Cameron. He just got word today. He made the middle school team over at Harriet Eddy, the basketball team. I want to give a big shout out to him, too, because Ashton tried out for the team and he got cut. And he didn't let that get him down. He went out there, continued to work on his game. I seen him play recently. He's gotten better. And, you know, the perseverance it takes for a young kid to, you know, get cut, not really sulk, just go back out there and work. And now make that team, man. I love to see that, man. I know he's been working hard, so I want to give a big shout out to him for that, man.
Love
big
it.
Ups, Cam.
Absolutely. Right on, Cam. Now, 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Let's start with our man, Manny. Let's start with Manny. Manny, what's going on, brother?
Hey, quick story. I got cut from my podcast team my junior year. Look at me now. Look at me now. Always stay with the kids.
I wouldn't brag about that, Manuel. Would not brag about that.
A podcast.
Katrina lets you be on her podcast.
It's like we can't.
That's true.
Or Tasha.
That's Tasha. Miss Tasha. Then looking back at the Kings, the last two games, obviously it's only two games. We still have a long way to go. And I know, I want to see Keon play some more. But I will say, the more I kind of look at it from the outside, hear you guys talk and the insiders, part of me is almost like, I think at some point what we'll be talking about more is not necessarily who Mike is playing and who isn't playing, but what is on, what's lacking on this roster that we're missing more than anything. Like, all these guys that we have, and we're supposed to be like 9-10 deep, but there's still some glaring deficiencies that weren't addressed in the offseason. And I think that'll be more in play when we get closer to the trade deadline on what we need to address to bring, might have to bring a couple cats in here to talk about, to address some of those issues. But I got to give a quick shout out. I like to hear what you guys have to say about that, but quick shout out to Coach JT. Will be on the podcast this Wednesday, and Kyle Madsen will be on the following Wednesday. So we have an all-star lineup coming.
Y'all booking the show, man. I love it.
See y'all cooking.
I'm not there yet. I'm not there of, well, you got to do this and you got to do that. Now, in fairness, Manny, it is percolating. Like, it's there are some things in my head, and it's not necessarily, someone go find Mason Plumlee. Like, it's not that. But I've started to formulate questions that it's not time to ask. We're not there yet. We're two games in. I need to see them get a win tonight, though. Mm-hmm. And this a loss tonight would be bad.
Oh, absolutely. A loss tonight would be real bad.
Bad as some of the remarks at the end of the Lakers game that went viral and made Sacramento look silly.
It's all over at the very least, the region, if not the country.
It was the country. It was everywhere.
Why would you say
that? Oh, Jesse looks confused. You missed that? Okay.
Why would you
I think I might have missed them something.
Yeah.
why would you say that?
The Kings announcers say that. Not Mark Jones.
No.
Yeah.
Mark Jones was in Boulder.
But yeah, Mark Jones was in Boulder. That's coming up later. had an issue with the Lakers dropping streamers.
Oh, I think I saw the chatty. I was talking about that earlier.
Yeah. Well, they do that all of the time.
Every game.
And apparently, after,
I got you.
Didn't go well. Ultra viral. And it's tough, too, because I looked at some of the comments and they weren't wrong. We light a goddamn beam every win. If they want to drop streamers, let them. And can I remind everybody of something? And if Kyle and Katie want to take this to heart, then so be it. There's a lot of people, and I think media people are the absolute worst with this. There are a lot of people who can go to one game every year. There are people who can go to one game every couple of years. So when their team wins, if you want to play cool in the gang and drop streamers to celebrate or light a beam, it's special for them. Just because you get to go every night across the country doesn't mean that home teams aren't catering their in-game ops for the people who get to go once or twice. Like, make it special for them.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a big believer, especially in the time we live in right now with how games are critiqued. Every single game is critiqued and somebody's blamed and this was horrible and all this other stuff. Man, celebrate the wins.
Yep.
Celebrate the wins at all times, man. And that's just the nature of what we – the sports society that we live in right now, where he's going to criticize me on a major level for a loss in December. I'm going to celebrate a win in December. And like you said, it's not even for the players or whatever. Sometimes it's for the people that are there. So I'm big on celebrating the wins. It's okay. We're going to keep lighting the beam.
We're
going to keep doing that. That ain't going nowhere. Yeah.
And hopefully it starts tonight.
Yeah, man. But here's what I said, because we got more people on the line. I want to know from everybody.
One of them's charging us.
Well, I better hurry up here. Well, one of the things I want to know, and maybe I'm seeing it all wrong. I could be seeing it all wrong. But I feel like you've got to take away something. So Kevin Huerter, I know the minus 29 and the defense and all that. I watched the game. You watched the game. I didn't think Kevin Huerter was a problem.
I didn't either.
Yeah. I
didn't either. That's why I called them stat sheet anomalies. They were just, It's just really unfortunate that he didn't get back in the fourth quarter.
Right. But I thought he played well. We're watching the game. I thought he was fine. I didn't think he was a problem. Offensively, you look at what he did. 14 points, 5 of 9 from the field, 4 of 7. In those situations, something's got to go. Either Malik's minutes, having two or three of the guys out there at the same time. Something's got to go. So what do you want to go to get Keon out there? I think there was a small window of opportunity to get him in the game. And they didn't do it. They didn't do it. But I don't think it was something where there was 15 minutes available for him to play. If you think there's 11 to 15 minutes available to play, one of those things that I've talked about has to go. Which one would it be?